Piper CEO Jim Bass is stepping down. The White House announces its pick to head the NTSB. And British Airways pilots are being asked for concessions. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 11th, 2009. Piper Aircraft CEO Jim Bass has announced he's stepping down June 26th. Quote, "My primary focus when I came to Piper in 2005 was to turn the company around, create a strong, highly competitive business, and make Piper a compelling choice for potential buyers. Now, with the sale of Piper to Imprimis, we have achieved that major milestone. It is now time for me to move on to other challenges," unquote. Imprimis managing partner Steven Berger praised Bass and observed, quote, "Among Jim's many contributions has been to recruit and develop a team of capable successors who are now charged with taking Piper forward. We thank Jim for his enormous contribution and wish him every success in the future," unquote. On that note, the company says Kevin Gould, VP of Operations, will be Piper's new CEO, and John Becker, VP of Engineering, moves up to be company president. The Obama administration has selected its replacement for Mark Rosenker as head of the National Transportation Safety Board. Deborah Herzman was sworn in as the 35th member of the NTSB on June 21, 2004, and has rounded out her political and conflict resolution academic background with work on at least six major air crash investigations. She's also been a Senate staffer and worked on safety regulation affecting railroads, trucks, buses, pipelines, and hazardous materials transportation. Her appointment is also considered a labor-friendly one. There's no word yet on a timetable for her Senate confirmation. British Airways Chief Executive Willie Walsh is asking employees this week to accept across-the-board pay cuts in what he calls a fight for survival by the airline. The Times of London reports Walsh and Finance Director Keith Williams are going without their salaries for the month of July, but asking employees, including pilots, for permanent concessions. So far, the unions are rejecting anything but temporary deals. The airline also tells the paper it will review pension funding, where the company reportedly faces a deficit as high as $4.7 billion. Echoing recent statements from an independent test official, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has told the Senate Appropriations Committee's Defense Subcommittee, quote, "I have confidence that if North Korea launched a long-range missile in the direction of the United States, that we would have a high probability of being able to defend ourselves against it. The judgment and the advice that I got was that the 30 silos that we have now, or are under construction, are fully adequate to protect us against a North Korean threat for a number of years," unquote. The Senate is considering an Obama budget which asks for a substantial investment to further develop and test missile interceptors at Fort Greely, Alaska, and at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. Up next on ANN, USDOT focuses on safety at regional airlines. NASA has the Mars Recon Orbiter back online. And will NASA and the ESA have to pool their resources to explore Mars? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 11th. I'm Paul Platt. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt announced on Tuesday that they have ordered FAA inspectors to immediately focus inspection on training programs to ensure that regional airlines are complying with federal regulations. The two plan to gather representatives from the major carriers, their regional partners, aviation industry groups, and labor in Washington, D.C. on Monday in a call to action to improve airline safety and pilot training. A major commitment will be sought from carriers in responsibilities for crew education and support, professional standards in flight discipline, training standards in performance, and mentoring relationships between the main lines and their regionals. LaHood praised Babbitt's experience as a former commercial airline pilot and former president of the Airline Pilots Association. Quote, "I have great faith that Randy's background as a pilot and his thoughtful approach to aviation matters will help us tackle the issues raised in the Colgan air crash," unquote. NASA officials say they're still not sure what caused the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter to spontaneously reboot into its safe mode on June 3rd, but they say it's now back online and its scientific instruments resumed full operation on Tuesday. The mysterious, uncommanded reboot, like one that happened back in February, may have been caused by erroneous voltage readings resulting from cosmic rays or solar particles hitting an electronic component. Whatever it was, any idiosyncratic behavior is certainly worth the troubleshooting hassle. Scientists say the MRO has returned more data about the red planet than all other Mars missions combined. The orbiter's high-resolution camera can identify objects the size of a dinner plate on the surface of the planet, which will provide valuable help in selecting a landing site for an eventual manned mission. It also has a sounder which can identify bodies of water on the surface. That'll help NASA choose good exploration targets in the future. The high costs of pursuing manned flight to Mars may be pushing NASA into collaboration with the European Space Agency, which is a departure from previous NASA policy. Last month, NASA's Space Sciences Chief Ed Wyler said he believed a joint venture was the best solution to achieving shared science goals. Quote, "If we can lose a little bit of our ego and nationalism," unquote. Funding issues have forced NASA to scale back technology spending. At the same time, ESA has not been able to fund ExoMars, a new rover it wants to launch in 2016. While NASA has collaborated with other nations on deep space missions, working together on Mars exploration would be new ground. The estimated cost of an unmanned mission to bring back samples of Martian rocks and soil to the Earth for study is about $5 billion. Still ahead, Lightsport aircraft, they're not just for pattern work. MGL's new comm radio weighs just half a pound. And what's that in the sky over Kennebunkport? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 11th. I'm Paul Plack. The crowded field of miniature VHF aircraft comm radios just got another new competitor. MGL Avionics, a South African company whose avionics are making major inroads in the experimental market, has introduced the V10, which mounts in a standard 3 1/8-inch panel hole, is only 2.2 inches deep without its connectors, and boasts a 6-watt transmitter output. The V10 has a digital interface that allows frequency selection to be performed by MGL's EFIS products, or any SL40-compatible external source. A built-in two-station intercom includes an automatic digital mic gain adjustment to minimize intrusive background noise. Weight is a half pound, and MSRP is $895 U.S. Find out more at www.mglavionics.com. If you think light sport aircraft aren't good for more than flying your local pattern, you can expect Matt Hansen and Jessica Charles to respectfully disagree. The pair departed Cecil Field in Jacksonville, Florida on Monday morning at 6:01 a.m. Eastern Time. 5 fuel stops and 19 hours 20 minutes later, they touched down at Gillespie Field near San Diego, completing a coast-to-coast cross-country. Total flying time was over 17 hours. The flight wasn't just to prove the capabilities of LSAs in general, or their Peregrine FA-04 in particular. Matt is a 23-year-old commercial pilot and flight instructor. 24-year-old Jessica is one of Hansen's former students who earned her sport pilot certificate in 2008. Jessica was born with arthrogryposis multiplex congenita, a condition that essentially fused all of her joints together. She's taken on challenges, including flying, that many would not attempt. She's also the first female Able Flight Scholarship recipient to earn her pilot certificate and shared equally in the piloting of the aircraft. She did much of the daytime flying, and because the Peregrine is lighted for night operation and Hansen has a private certificate, he was legal to fly the last leg, which finished after dark. The plane holds 30 gallons of fuel. You can read more details in the text version of this story, dated June 10th, at aero-news.net. Two visiting pilots from Austria also recently completed a cross-country flight. Theirs began at Lawrence, Massachusetts, and also ended at Gillespie Field. This was no speed record attempt. Chris Kurse and Robert Nunes are homeopaths who visited botanical gardens to search for ingredients for use in natural remedies while they crossed the U.S. in a pair of MT-03 open cockpit gyroplanes. The leisurely trip took a little over 2 weeks after unpacking their aircraft from a shipping container at Lawrence. The adventurers got lots of unexpected help along the way from strangers as word of their unusual trip spread on internet forums. The trip left the pair with great pictures, even better memories, and a thirst for another more ambitious adventure in the future. I'll leave it to Chris Kurtz to explain more about that. He'll be my guest on the Aero News special feature today and tomorrow. And finally, on the occasion of his 80th birthday, former President George H.W. Bush made a tandem parachute jump with the U.S. Army Golden Knights. At the time, he said he thought it would probably be his last, and he joked that Barbara might have had some input into that decision. But he didn't stop. In 2007, Bush 41 made a jump with the Knights to celebrate the 10th anniversary and rededication of the Bush Library in College Station, Texas. Now, his 85th birthday is coming up, and tomorrow, guess how he's going to celebrate? Family and friends will gather at St. Anne's Church in Kennebunkport, Maine, to watch as the former president, who famously had to bail out of his fighter during World War II, will jump this time out of a perfectly good airplane. This is the golden anniversary year for the Golden Knights, and Sergeant Major Michael Eitner, the Knights' senior enlisted man, notes the jump will happen just 2 days before the Army's 234th anniversary. Quote, "It's an honor to share the sky with an American patriot. It couldn't have happened at a better time," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Austrian pilot Chris Kurtz, who recently completed a flight across the U.S. in an open cockpit gyroplane. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.